You pay your business credit card back every month.
None of the clappy.
Your business credit card pays you back every month. At Barclaycard Business, we do things differently. So with the Barclaycard Select Cashback Credit Card, we pay you back 1% cashback on all your eligible business spend, with no cap and no annual fee. To apply for a card for your business, search Barclaycard Business. Cashback T's and C's and exclusions apply. The approval of your application depends on your financial circumstances and borrowing history. T's and C's apply.
Dynamite tonight was 25 minutes away at the UBS Arena in Long Island. Not very far from where I am right now. For the very first time, AEW making their debut at the brand new arena, outselling WWE in that very same building. They ran Monday Night Raw there a little over a week ago, outselling them by a healthy margin in their home market, which is very impressive, especially when you consider that AEW was just in New York back in September. But then again, so was WWE. They were at Madison Square Garden. AEW was at Arthur Ashe Stadium. Pretty quick comeback to the New York market and a very energetic crowd. The crowd last week sounded comatose. Not the case tonight. For what I thought overall was an enjoyable final push towards Winter is Coming. Next week is the big Winter is Coming edition of Dynamite from Garland, Texas, I believe is where they are. AEW Championship on the line. Hangman Page next week defending against Bryan Danielson. So tonight, Danielson went one-on-one against another member of the Dark Order in his hometown, Long John Silver, in Long Island in the main event. I have to say, I think of all the matches on the show tonight, yeah, the Young Bucks match, of course, some people are going to not necessarily be a fan of that style of match. I enjoyed the women's match. They had a women's match tonight with Jamie Hayter and Riho. And, you know, one of the things I like about the greatest sellers, if I had to make a list of the wrestlers who I think were great sellers, what was it about them and how they sold that I enjoyed the most? It's the people that really make you feel like they're getting their ass handed to them. And Riho is like 80 pounds, soaking wet. Riho went in there tonight and looked like she was getting the hell beaten out of her by Jamie Hayter. She was bouncing her around, breaking her over her knee, beating the hell out of this girl. And both women worked very hard. When it was over, it felt like I had just watched a legitimate battle between two people. So I was impressed by the women's match tonight. But the big news, I'm burying the lead here. You know, I'm talking about all this stuff, and I'm completely burying the lead. The major news coming out of tonight's show, in an announcement that was made by Taz, this Friday on Rampage, there's a whole bunch of matches signed, tag team championship match. That's not even the news. The news is that Hook is going to make his in-ring debut on Rampage this Friday night. This is going to be a momentous occasion. We've heard so much about Hook. We've seen Hook. We've not heard from Hook. We've not seen Hook wrestle. We're going to see Hook on Friday. That was my big takeaway from the show tonight. Hook is going to be stepping into the ring on Friday night. Send Hook, as everybody in the chat is saying. Yes, indeed. Send Hook. Hook is on the way. Hopefully the sound is okay. And the reason I say that is because if it sounds any different, this is the first stream that I am doing on my brand new computer. It's a brand new laptop. If you are watching the sound off right now, if you're watching this stream, this is the first sound off of any kind on the new machine. Everything is set up exactly the way it was before, but you never know with these things. My speakers sound all weird, but everything should sound okay. If it doesn't, let me know. That would be the reason why, and we'll get it fixed for next week. But very excited to take this for a spin. So hopefully all will go well. I can already tell my CPU is way down from where it was a few months ago. That's a good sign. That is a very good sign. Taz, Excalibur, and Tony Schiavone were the announced team for tonight. Best wishes they sent to Jim Ross and Justin Roberts. We still don't know what the deal is with Justin Roberts. Obviously, he's dealing with something personal. And so, I guess, thoughts are with him. I said last week it almost sounded like a death in the family, but they didn't announce exactly what it was. But Jim Ross, I saw that he, I believe, just finished radiation treatment number 8 for his skin cancer, and so on his ankle. He's got, 8. He had 22 total treatments, so he's got a ways to go, but he's still hoping to be back for the final Dynamite of the year, which is in Jacksonville. They're going to be back at Daly's place before the end of the year. So best to JR. And actually, even better than that, I have to mention this here. On the podcast a few weeks ago, I mentioned that Hacksaw Jim Duggan announced that he was being treated for cancer, prostate cancer. And he had gone through kidney cancer 20 years ago, back when he was in WCW. So it was very scary to hear that, you know, he was going through it again. Now he's 20 years older. Did they catch it in time? He had surgery. He posted a video today to announce that, I guess, all the tests and the scans came back and he is cancer-free. The cancer was contained to the prostate and it did not spread. They checked the tissue and the lymph nodes and everything, and he was in good spirits. And so that was great news to get. Hacksaw is cancer-free. Hacksaw Jim Duggan is going to be okay. So that was that made me very happy to hear that earlier today. Hey, Rodimus Prime, dropping $40. Thank you for the super chat. I shall read what you wrote a little bit later. The show opened with the prodigal son, or so we thought, right? MJF. This is his hometown. This is his home turf. And they play his music, the douchiest music that you could possibly ever hear. It has grown on me. MJF's theme song has become a favorite of mine. Sounds like an old MIDI song from a wrestling video game, which I guess means his theme song is mid. But they played his music, only it wasn't MJF who came out. It was CM Punk. And then they cut the music. And CM Punk walked to the ring with no music. He walked to the ring here in Long Island with boos. They booed CM Punk out of the building here in Long Island. And he admitted when he got into the ring that he was taken aback by the reaction. He was shocked. He was shocked that the fans would back somebody like MJF. And as they're booing, he says, you know, is that all you got? The crowd in Chicago is so much louder than you guys. And he went the cheap heat route by taking pot shots at the New York Islanders, who, of course, play hockey in the building. New York Islanders, not a very good team. If I know anything about bad teams, take it from me as a Mets fan. I know all about that. I'm not a hockey fan, but I know all about that. So Punk asked the crowd if MJF was their guy, and he said that he was getting kind of hot. So he took his jacket off to reveal a new t-shirt, an AW t-shirt that has the four pillars, the four young pillars of the company listed on the shirt. And MJF was, I think MJF was covered up by Britt Baker. Either that or they put Britt Baker on there and intentionally left MJF off. And so that got more heat. And, you know, he said you can put a woman over, you know, due to her accomplishments and not just because you want to get in her pants, which is from when MJF took a dig at him a couple weeks ago about trying to suck up to Britt Baker. He mocked MJF, saying that he was better than Roddy Piper in Portland. He took great offense to him making that comment. He said MJF is not even as good as Piper was in the movie Hell Comes to Frogtown. And as somebody who has seen the movie Hell Comes to Frogtown, it was no good. I know that it's a bit of a cult classic, not like They Live. They Live is a fantastic movie. They Live. I would even take Piper in Body Slam. There's a movie I bet some of you never heard of. Hell Comes to Frogtown. I can't say I was a real fan. The fans chanted something at this point. I couldn't really hear what it was. They were so loud. Maybe they were chanting different things. Even Punk couldn't hear what they were saying. He says, I have no idea what you guys are saying. Because, I don't really understand you, just like the Islanders don't understand how to put the puck in the net. More cheap heat for the Islanders. And he said their win over the Ottawa Senators last night was like him beating QT Marshall 2 weeks ago. I'm all for a good QT Marshall burial. It's okay with me. Punk compared the Long Island fans pulling for MJF to him and other Chicago fans cheering for Dennis Rodman. And he said, I'm not mad at you. I feel a little bit sorry for you. And he talked about next week's Winter is Coming championship match between Hangman Adam Page and Bryan Danielson. And this is important here because this is the first time that CM Punk, that I can recall, since coming to AEW, has on television addressed the championship and has flat out said, as he did here in this promo, that he wanted an AEW championship match. He was going to be paying very close attention to the match next week because he wanted to be next in line for a shot at the AEW world title. And he said he assumed that MJF wanted the same thing. He said MJF stooped to a new low by threatening his dog, Larry. The fans were barely paying attention at this point. They were just booing and chanting things at him. They were so loud. Punk said Larry has bigger balls than MJF does. He said that he was having fun, so he took another shot at the Islanders by saying they haven't won anything since 1984. The Mets really haven't won anything major since 1986, so again, I can relate. Punk said he wants a match with MJF, and he doesn't want him to go run like they do on Long Island. He wants them to stand and fight like they do in Chicago. Taz, by the way, was on commentary, and Taz, the native New Yorker, Taz took great exception to Punk's pot shots at the Islanders and Long Island, and he said, I knew there was a reason why I never liked this guy. And Punk told the fans at the end, if that's who you back, if you guys are all in on MJF, and if that's the kind of person you want to back, then you are all chicken shit. And as he walked up the aisle, he was kind of doing the motion like, come get it, he was really taunting the fans and trying to get under their skin. It was fun to see Punk get a different reaction than normal, although I guess he did get booed when he was wrestling with Eddie Kingston. So we kind of got Punk booed there. But I thought it was fun just to see him get a different kind of reaction and for once not come out and be like all lovey-dovey. Oh, it's so nice to be here. And everyone's singing along to Cult of Personality, and instead he gets showered with boos. And it reminds me that, at some point I do want to see CM Punk get another good heel run. Because as over as he has been as a babyface, Punk is also a natural heel. And so there's a whole, you look at the roster and there's a whole swath of talent that he could work with as a heel at some point as well. And so that's fun to look forward to. He kept going back to the Islander stuff and it worked and the people didn't like it and they booed him and it got heel heat. But he kept going back to it so often. And I wrote this on Twitter and everybody said, oh, of course, of course he knew that he was going to get booed. It's not that of course he knew he was going to get booed. He came out to MJF's theme music and he swerved everybody. So what, of course, you knew he was going to get booed. That's not what I meant. I think that maybe he got even more heat and boos than he was expecting. And it looked like he was a little taken aback by it. And he kept going back to all this, all the digs at the Islanders and everything. And I don't know. You mentioned the Islanders once, maybe a couple of times. To keep going back to it, though, I mean, he's better than that. I think he could have come with some better material, but clearly he ended up having a lot of fun with the crowd. I think he was into it. I thought it was a good opening segment. Speaking of MJF, we transition then to the Dynamite Diamond Dozen Battle Royale. For the ring that MJF has held each of the last 2 years, MJF was the only one here to get an entrance for this match. Nobody else in the Battle Royal got an entrance. MJF was the only one. And with that entrance, before he made his entrance in the building, he got a custom vignette. And this was excellent. I thought this video was very well done. He pulls up in a Ferrari to his old high school, Plainview High School. And they had a narrator who was narrating, what a hero he was in Long Island. And we see this shot of him wearing his school, the Plainview school jacket, walking onto the football field. And then he finally came out and got the big reaction and made his entrance. But I thought the video was excellent. So the participants in this Battle Royal were as follows: MJF, Wardlow, Jay Lethal, Matt Hardy, Frankie Kazarian, Powerhouse Hobbs, Dante Martin, Leo Rush, Ricky Starks, Lee Moriarty, Matt Sydal, and Lee Johnson. That's 12, right? That should be 12. Lee Moriarty dumped first. Adios. I didn't actually see where Sydal got dumped out. I think I looked down, and as quickly as I looked down, he was gone. The Bunny slipped Brass Knucks into the ring to Matt Hardy, who used them to deck Jay Lethal, and he knocked him out. And Hardy then dumped out Jay Lethal, which was quite the surprise. This was only Jay Lethal's second television appearance, right? He debuted at the pay-per-view in a promo. He had the match against Sammy Guevara. And so now he was back on Dynamite. He was in this Battle Royal. And look, the Battle Royal didn't go that long. But here's this veteran, former Ring of Honor world champion coming out here. And in the first 90 seconds, he gets knocked out and dumped like a nobody. That's not good. That was not good. To see Jay Lethal, they did him dirty here on this show. Dante Martin, who came into this match as the newest member of Team Taz, snuck up and dumped out Matt Hardy after Hardy dumped out Jay Lethal. And then came face-to-face with Lio Rush, did Dante Martin. Hobbs blindsided him before they could go at it. We then got a face-to-face with Hobbs and Wardlow. We got a hoss battle between the two big guys. And the crowd popped big for it. Wardlow almost knocked Hobbs to the floor, but he held on. He was out on the apron. He held on to the ropes. But here comes Lio Rush, and he knocks Hobbs off the apron to the floor. And at that point, they cut to a picture-in-picture break. They come back. Wardlow and MJF are just being swarmed by almost everybody else in the match. And Lio Rush and Lee Johnson, they try to eliminate Wardlow. They're not really having a lot of luck. MJF sneaks up behind the baby faces. He dumps all three of them out to the floor. It's like we've seen that spot, you know, I don't know about dozens, but we've seen that spot done a lot in the past. The one that I always think of is Shawn Michaels in 94. When Diesel went on that tear in the Royal Rumble match, and he had about 10 different guys ganging up on him all at once, and it was Shawn Michaels who was the one who gave that little extra push. And Shawn and Diesel were aligned at the time, and out went Diesel, I think, and I don't know if Diesel was the only one who went out. But that, yeah, we've seen that spot done before. And Wardlow wasn't happy, but MJF looked outside and said, hey, it's every man for himself. Adds a little more fuel to the fire for the eventual split, whenever it might come, with MJF and with Wardlow. They're still milking it. They're going to milk it into the new year. They're still milking. They're taking their time with it. I hope the payoff is worth it. So it came down to MJF and Lio Rush and Lee Johnson after MJF low bridge Frankie Kazarian, and he went flying out of the ring. So actually, I'm sorry, it was Ricky Starks. It was Ricky Starks, Dante Martin, and MJF were the final three in this match. Two members of Team Taz in Ricky Starks and Dante Martin. It looked like MJF was going to be ganged up on one-on-two. All of a sudden, Dante Martin surprised Ricky Starks and dumped him out of the ring. And at first I thought, okay, it's a battle royal, right? So it's fine. I mean, somebody's got to go out. But then he ripped off the FTW armband that he had. And the announcers were talking about the fact that this was all a swerve. It wasn't just that he dumped out Ricky Starks. It was all a swerve against Team Taz, and he was never really with them to begin with. And Taz is on commentary, and he's freaking out. And so, per the rules of the Battle Royal, the way they did this is the last two men in the ring would then go on next week a Winter is Coming to have a singles match for the Dynamite Diamond Ring. So, technically, MJF and Dante Martin, both the winners of the Battle Royal here. And we're going to get that match next week. Taz, again, was freaking out on commentary. He was beside himself. He said, I have a signed contract with this kid. You can't do that. It's breach of contract. You know, Lio Rush gave young Dante a lesson in business, right? Lio Rush, big businessman. That's his gimmick. He gave him a lesson in business. Too bad he didn't give him any legal advice. Teach him about contract law. So MJF extended his hand to Dante Martin. He was trying to be, you know, he was trying to be the good guy here. And he put his hand out to shake his hand. They shook hands. And then he started to walk out. And Ricky Starks attacked Dante Martin. So in the ring, Starks is pounding away on Dante. And MJF is about halfway up the ramp. And he turns around, he looks, and he sees what's going on. And he gets like the Larry David look. If any of you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, the Palestinian Chicken episode from a few seasons ago, it's like a big meme online where Larry has this look like, you know, he doesn't know. He can go this way. He can go that way. He's mulling over in his mind what to do. And he decides, Fuck him. And he starts, you know, he continues on his path up the ramp to the back. He was conflicted about what to do, and he decided, the hell with it, I'm going to the back. But then he decides, you know what, yeah, I'll go help the kid. And he runs down to the ring, and he goes face-to-face with Ricky Starks, and he shoves him, and Starks shoves him back, and it looks like they're about to throw down. And of course, what ends up happening, MJF attacks Dante Martin. Ricky Starks attacks Dante Martin, and they start double-teaming the kid. And I do like how, at the end of the day, even though he was getting this heroic babyface reaction, he still was a heel doing heel things. He didn't really betray the character. I mean, he didn't really do anything any differently. He did everything exactly that you would expect MJF to do. He eliminated Wardlow. He beat down this kid. CM Punk walks back to the ring to make the save. More booze on his way to the ring for CM Punk. MJF bails. Punk hits Starks with the go to sleep to end the segment. MJF against Dante Martin next week sounds like a lot of fun. I think that's going to be a fun match. And it also sounds like CM Punk is going to be costing MJF the Dynamite Diamond ring. Which makes me wonder if, because MJF is not winning it 3 years in a row. But it makes me wonder then if maybe Taz can sue Dante for possession of the ring, for breaching the contract. He could sue to get the Dynamite Diamond ring and bring it into Team Taz, give the ring to Hook. Because Ricky's already got a belt, right? He's got the FTW title. Jurassic Express. I know that's not how these things work. It's like getting in a car accident and then the judge rules that you have to become someone's butler. It's just TV bullshit. That's not what happens in real life. Jurassic Express and Varsity Blondes against the Acclaimed and 2.0 with Daniel Garcia in their corner. Let me talk a little bit here real briefly about Daniel Garcia. I put a clip up on the YouTube channel. I talked about this in the podcast. Bryan Danielson did an interview with TV Insider. And at the very end of the interview, he made a comment that I thought was kind of interesting, that one of his goals for 2022, he would love to form his own group. And why not? Everybody has a group anyway already in AEW. So what's another one, right? We have all kinds of factions and alliances and teams and groups in the company. Danielson would like to have a group of his own, and he would like to have a group that has one or two young guys. He didn't say if he would want other veterans in there, but the one AEW talent, the one young AEW talent that he singled out and said, I would love for him to be part of my group, was Daniel Garcia. He sees something in Daniel Garcia. He probably sees some of himself, the way he mat wrestles people and grapples with them. I see a little bit of Bryan Danielson in him. You know, when I watch Daniel Garcia in the ring, and apparently Danielson feels the same way. So, something to watch for. Maybe 2.0 and Garcia. All three of them. Form a group with Danielson. Come up with a name for him. I think that would be huge for Daniel Garcia. I'll tell you that much. To be aligned in some way with someone on the level of a Danielson can only do him positive things in his career. Certainly can't hurt. Then again, they put Private Party with Matt Hardy, another veteran of the ring. And what exactly has that done for Private Party? When was the last time we even saw Private Party in the ring on TV? Not on like Dark or Elevation or any of those shows. Where the hell have they been? Where the hell have Santana and Ortiz been? I'm going to talk about Ortiz in a second because he popped up on this show actually at the end of this match. So Anthony Bowen started out with Jungle Boy, fought off all the heels, did Jungle Boy. Blondes tagged in, Pillman landed a diving drop kick, and Griff Garrison hit a dive out onto everybody. 2.0 distracted the referee, which, I mean, you look at a lot of matches on this show, that isn't very hard to do at AEW. Boy, the referees, you know, even to a degree, Aubrey Edwards, they do distraction spots with her too, but with her, I think it's less so. With almost every other referee in this company, every referee in AEW is made to look like a fucking moron. Seriously, every single one of them. Aubrey maybe is the most protected of the bunch. Like, she doesn't put up with people's shit most of the time. But my God, and it's not just Rick Knox. It's like the referees in general. They look like a bunch of morons on this show. Anyway, they distracted the referee. That allowed Bowens to interfere. Heels isolated Pillman in their corner. Long beatdown. Finally, Pillman fights back. He makes the hot tag to Luchasaurus. We got a whole parade of big moves from everybody. Jungle Boy went for the snare trap. Daniel Garcia hops up on the apron to what else to distract the referee? Here comes Eddie Kingston. And Eddie Kingston comes down to the ring and he pulls Garcia down from the apron. He throws him into the ring steps. Max Caster missed the mic drop from the top rope. Jungle Boy locked on the snare trap. He got the submission, the tap out for the win. And so the babyfaces pick up the victory. After the match, Kingston is in the back. The camera has followed Eddie Kingston to this back area of the building. And he's ranting and raving. We can't hear a word because it's not picking up any sound. We just see him. Ortiz is there. And Ortiz has, like, the dead president's face paint on him. So I'm assuming he must have wrestled maybe a dark match or something. I didn't see Santana. But there's Ortiz. And he's trying to calm down Eddie. Again, we can't hear anything. But it was like, holy shit, I completely forgot about Ortiz. And they were in New York. They were in New York. You would think they would want to get them on the show in some way. Where the hell have Santana and Ortiz been? Unless there's some kind of injury that has been preventing them from getting more involved in the ring. I mean, it has been months. And they're a team that should be in the mix. They're a team that should be in the thick of things. Even if they're not competing for the championships right now, they should be doing something. You know, they're over, they're popular. You know, Santana in particular, I think, has real breakout potential as a singles, but I feel like we barely see these guys. I mean, I know there's peaks and valleys. Sometimes it's not your turn. You got to wait, and eventually they'll focus on you, but they seem, you know, more than any other members, frankly, of the inner circle, you know, more often than not, they're the ones that are kind of in the background and we don't really get to see them. So it was kind of sad when I saw Ortiz and it reminded me like, oh shit, where have they been? Probably on Dark. They shouldn't be on Dark. They should be on Dynamite. They should be on Rampage. They have an hour of Rampage on Fridays. Let's get them on some Rampage shows. So they were, you know, again, he's trying to calm down Kingston. They were stalling because they were waiting for the heels to make their way back so they could be a big brawl. And eventually 2.0 and Garcia, they came back there, they attacked Kingston, and they left the baby faces laying. We had a backstage segment with FTR, the AAA Tag Team Champions, and Tully Blanchard. Tully talked up FTR and all their accomplishments, and Cash Wheeler said that the Lucha Bros, one victory over them was a fluke. It was a mistake. It will never happen again. And Dax Harwood said this Friday, Tag Team Championship match is going to be the biggest match of their career. So they are going to do for the AEW Tag Team titles. Coming up this Friday, it will be the Lucha Bros. It will be FTR. They were going to do this match last week. Phoenix, they claimed, was injured. He was not injured. He had travel issues. He could not make it into Atlanta. So instead, they did Penta and Pac, non-title, against FTR. It was going to be 2 out of 3 falls. They did not announce the match this Friday as 2 out of 3 falls, probably because they've announced 3 other matches. They don't have time in a one-hour show. So it will not be 2 out of 3 falls, but they are going to give us the title match that we did not get last week. And EJ brings up a point in the chat. You know, I just made the comment that of the members of the inner circle, the ones who you really don't see as much and they're kind of in the background, I said of Santana and Ortiz, he goes, you could say the same thing about Jake Hager. That's fine with me. I don't mind that. Hager plays his role fine when he is featured. He's the big guy. They usually match him up with another big guy. Gets a big pop. You know, like when he got in the ring with Junior Dos Santos and those guys. But you can keep Jake Hager in the background. I don't want Jake Hager. I want Santana and Ortiz to get more time. Jake Hager can fade into the background. We have the Young Bucks with Adam Cole against Chuck Taylor of Best Friends and New Japan's Rocky Romero back on Dynamite yet again. I think this is, what, his third appearance, I believe. I think third appearance on Dynamite in the last couple of months. And they had Orange Cassidy in their corner. So it's Chaos against the Bullet Club, revisited here on AEW television. Rocky took care of Nick early. He took him out with a tope suicida. Matt came back with a dropkick to the floor. The Bucks had Rocky isolated in the heel corner. Beat him down with multiple tags until Rocky escaped. Got the tag to Chuck Taylor. Here comes Chuck Taylor in, DDT flatliner combo. And he hit a tope con hero on both Bucks. Immediately turned around into double super kicks. Rocky took a super kick as well. And then the Young Bucks hit the ropes and they did their spot. They slid outside and they gave Adam Cole a kiss on each cheek. Matt went for multiple Northern Light suplexes. Rocky, though, turned it into a DDT. Brandon Cutler was out there and he distracted the referee. I guess this was the Rick Knox match, I believe. Distracted the referee. Adam Cole tried to get involved. Orange Cassidy cut him off with his weak leg kicks. Or I guess you would say devastating. Devastating leg. Devastatingly weak. How about that? We'll combine the two. His devastatingly weak leg kicks, which did not really amuse Adam Cole. And before Adam Cole could do anything, Nick Jackson annihilated him. Orange Cassidy with a super kick. Brandon Cutler, though, accidentally sprayed the cold spray in Matt Jackson's face. It's getting a little old. It's getting a lot old with the Bucks and the fucking cold spray. Enough already. I thought we'd put this behind us. When the Bucks lost the belts, that should have been the end of this cold spray shit. Matt Jackson countered a slice bread by Rocky into the tombstone position, but Romero cradled out of it for a great backslide near fall. Matt pump-handled Romero into position for the Meltzer driver, and the Bucks nailed it. They picked up the win. Super click. Brandon Cutler beat down the baby faces after the match. Here comes Wheeler Yuta, the other member of Best Friends. Wheeler Yuta comes down to the ring. He gets immediately knocked down by Adam Cole. Cole hits the Panama Sunrise, the assisted Panama Sunrise. The Bucks were holding him while Cole came off the middle rope, hit the Panama Sunrise on Orange Cassidy. Superclick was setting up for a three-way BTE trigger. Best Friends music plays. Remember what I told you last week? I said they're in Long Island, right? They're in Long Island. Hey, Topher. Topher1004 just subscribed to the channel. Thank you for the sub. I told you last week they're in Long Island. And there is another native Long Islander, one of many on this AEW roster. And his name is Trent. Trent had spinal surgery over the summer, and I wasn't sure if he would physically be able to do anything, and it seemed like, I don't know exactly what kind of surgery it was. Obviously, it wasn't spinal fusion, I don't think, or else he would still be on the shelf, I would think. But I said, watch. Watch for Trent. I would be shocked if Trent was not on the show or in the building, at least. Sure enough, here comes Sue. Here comes his mom, Sue, driving her SUV into the arena. Trent gets out of the back seat. She gives him a peck on the cheek. Trent was sporting a new look. His head is shaved. He was looking ripped. So he's been working out. He speared Cutler on the ramp, took out Matt and Adam Cole with lariats in the ring before dispatching Nick with a half-and-half suplex. And the Best Friends did the big embrace with Trent in the middle of the ring, and so the Best Friends were all back together, and they played the Rocky Romero Roppongi Vice song. Sue was brought into the ring by Chris Statlander, so all the Best Friends and Sue were in the ring. Now, it's good to see Trent back. I don't know if he's back full-time or this was just, you know, because of where they were, this was kind of a one-off for now. I don't know if he's officially cleared. I mean, he was in there doing half and half, so I assume he's cleared for combat. And he's been snake bitten for a good part of the year. You know, he had tore his pec. He came back. He had spinal injury. He had surgery for that. Now he's back. He's got a little bit of a new look. Hopefully 2022 will be kinder to him than 2021 was. Then we have the worst segment on the entire show. On what was a very good show, but this was the worst segment on the entire show. Ruby Soho was in the back. She was being interviewed. And all of a sudden, just immediately, she's interrupted by the Bunny and Penelope Ford. And the position that they were standing in, this was a WWE segment is what this was. And I don't mean that in a good way. The way WWE shoots some of these backstage segments, that's what this was. Because they're facing the camera. And again, it's a television show. So I understand you want to kind of face the camera. But Ruby is standing there facing us. The Bunny is standing there facing us, right? And then you have Penelope Ford standing to the left of Ruby, staring at us, and they're talking, but they're not looking at Ruby. They're looking at us. It just looked so awkward. Now, if they were together, if they were a trio, and they were cutting a promo and looking at us, then that would make sense. But they were talking to Ruby, and they're looking at us. No! No! This looked very awkward. Very, very awkward. But it gets better. So they're talking, and they said that Nyla Rose has promised them a shot, each of them a shot, at the TBS championship when Nyla wins the TBS title. When Nyla wins the TBS title, that will not happen. But she's promised them title shots. I can promise things, too, if I know it's not going to happen. And Ruby gets tired of hearing them talk their shit, and she throws a forearm at the bunny immediately, as if Nyla just so happened to be standing off to the side waiting for her cue. Here's Nyla Rose. Immediately, she hits the scene. And Nyla attacks Ruby, and then Anna Jay and Ty Conti show up instantly with chairs to chase away the heels. This was very bad. I have seen stage plays with better acting than what we saw here. And the way they formatted this and put this thing together, this segment sucked. Sammy Guevara. He was out next on stage to be interviewed by Tony Schiavone. Sammy Guevara, the reigning TNT champion. And he was immediately interrupted, as everybody in this company is. Nobody can be interviewed and not be interrupted. I would be stunned if somebody actually got in the ring and was not interrupted. I mean, I could count on one hand the number of promos I've seen this year where the person was not interrupted, like Punk when he came back in Chicago. I could probably think of a few others, and that's about it. So Sammy didn't even get a word out. He was interrupted by Cody Rhodes. Cody went through the flaming table last week. He went through the flaming table for you. He went through the flaming table for me. He did it for America. He did it for everybody, right? How can you boo this man? He put his life on the line last week, foolishly, but he put his life on the line, his health, his body, his well-being, his future. He put it all on the line for a dumb stunt at the end of the main event. He comes out and he gets booed. These people didn't give a fuck what he did in that match last week. And he's out there too, and you can see he's got patches of skin missing from his arms, just singed off, burned off. It'll be a while before that heals. So he was showing his battle scars. But he comes out and he alerts Sammy Guevara. He alerts him that it is official. He is going to be defending Sammy is the TNT Championship against Cody on Christmas Day. Because for those who don't know, I have a note here. I'll skip ahead. I was going to mention this later, but I may as well mention it now. Tony Khan did an interview, and I don't know if it was on Busted Open or if he did this interview somewhere else. It might have been Busted Open Radio, because I know he's got a weekly spot on there. But he made an announcement. He goes, we're going to be on Long Island tonight. We're doing Winter is Coming in Dallas next week. The Holiday Bash in Greensboro, which is going to be next week. I'm sorry, the week after. Spread out across Dynamite and Rampage, which he said will be a special Christmas night edition of Rampage. So Christmas week, there will be no Rampage on Friday night. Rampage will be on Christmas Day, Christmas night that week. And he goes, the final Dynamite ever on TNT will be on December 29th in Jacksonville at Daly's Place. So if I heard Cody correctly here in this segment, on that Christmas, I guess it would be Rampage. On the Christmas Rampage, it'll be him challenging Sammy Guevara for the TNT title. And then before he left, and by the way, you can imagine how that announcement was met by the crowd. You can imagine what the reaction was upon him mentioning the fact that he was going to be challenging for the championship. But then he goes and he teases exiting through the heel tunnel. And then he stops himself. And then he turns and he goes through the babyface tunnel. So he's the delusional babyface. I still don't think he goes full on heel. I know some people think it's got to be leading to a full on heel turn, right? Hollywood Cody, it's got to be leading to something like that. I'm not convinced of that. I think he's having fun with it. He's playing it up, you know, because he had to know or they had to know, the kind of reaction he was going to get. Although what he did last week just reeked of desperation to me. It just reeked of, like me, cheer for me, look what I'm willing to do for you people. And I told you, he's going to get a reaction. Certain cities might be more receptive to him, but it's not going to work. These people have it in their heads now that when Cody comes out, you boo him. Because he comes out and he's got the special entrance and he thinks he's bigger than he really is and people resent him for it and they want to boo him. They think he's pretentious. So heel Cody Rhodes would be interesting, and heel Cody Rhodes would have all these new opponents to wrestle, but I remain unconvinced that he is going to go for a full-on heel turn. I think he might be content being the delusional babyface for the time being. Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky. Another interruption. One interruption in this segment was not enough. We had two interruptions. Once Cody left, we had the voice of Ethan Page. I was going to say the voice of God. The voice of Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky. They were up in the upper deck. And Page was frustrated by Sammy's open challenge. This whole idea of an open challenge. They were bothered by this because he's not focusing on people who are more deserving who are in the top five. And if you look at the latest AEW rankings, Scorpio Sky is ranked at number three in the top five, which is why he was so upset. So they announced that Dan Lambert would be returning soon. Scorpio told Sammy he would, you know, want him to prove that he's a champion. Put your title on the line against me. And Sammy laid the belt down on the ground and said, anytime. And that was the entire segment. Sammy didn't say anything. The crowd reaction with Cody against Sammy is going to be very interesting. I think we know how it's going to go, but I think it can make for some fun television. And then we had what may have been the best match on the entire show. The one that I liked the most. I thought this was the best match of the night. Jamie Hayter with Britt Baker and Rebel in her corner against Riho, who pinned Britt Baker a couple weeks ago on Rampage. She is the number one contender for the AEW Women's Championship. The story they are telling is that Britt Baker cannot beat Riho. One-on-one, she has never been able to beat this woman. She cannot figure her out. Riho has her number, and so maybe Riho will be the first person to take the title from Britt Baker. She won't. But let's pretend that she will. Hayter didn't fare much better than Britt did a couple of weeks ago in this match. There was a spot where Riho dived off the top rope, and Jamie Hayter was out on the floor, and she was supposed to catch Riho, and when Riho came, because Riho is tiny, right, so it'd be easy, you would think. Riho comes off the top rope, and Hayter barely caught her, and Riho really caught more of her knee, but she kind of caught her, and then she picked her up, and she rammed Riho back first into the ring post. And then in the ring, she continued to beat this poor girl down. She was beating the crap out of Riho. Riho was taking just every offensive move that you could think of. She was being beaten down and beaten down into the commercial. They come back, and Riho starts making a comeback. Hits the Cazadora takeover. Standing double stomp. Trying to turn things back to her advantage. She rolled Hayter up for two. Hayter powered out of a dragon suplex. Riho turned it around, hit the dragon suplex for two. Hayter hit a nasty-looking sheer drop brainbuster for a near fall. So Hayter gave her a backbreaker. This was a brutal backbreaker across the knee. When you have somebody that tiny, you know, it looks like you can break her in half. So every time Riho takes a devastating-looking move like that, it just works so much better with her because she is so small, and you believe that she could be hurt on a move like that. She's fragile. She's a very fragile person. So when she's selling for moves like that, this is the point I made at the beginning of the stream when I talked about this. You know, it's believable. It's authentic. She's 75 pounds. 80, maybe, with her clothes on. So she took a beating in this match, but she found a way to pull it out in the end. Hayter transitioned into a single leg crab. Riho rolled through, hit a leaping knee strike, and Riho pulled off a code red for a near fall. Riho hit a diving foot stomp off the top. Didn't really get the full impact that she was looking for. Hayter kicked out. Again, she, at her weight, I mean, how much impact is it really going to have, right? Hayter tried for a superplex, and Riho pounded her with hammer fists and knocked her down to the mat. Hayter managed to climb back up, got Riho on her shoulders. Riho took her over with an avalanche crucifix bomb, and she hit her finish, and she got the pin. Very good match. And again, kudos to Riho because she took a beating in this match, but she powered through. She's the number one contender. I mean, she couldn't go in there and lose if she's going to be wrestling Britt Baker for the championship. And they didn't announce Winter is Coming or anything like that, which tells me we're probably looking at Battle of the Belts. If the idea of Battle of the Belts is that every championship is on the line, it would make sense to wait until Battle of the Belts and do the match then. Battle of the Belts is exactly 1 month away. 1 month from today is Battle of the Belts, January 8th on TNT. Baker attacked Riho after the match, put on the black glove, and applied Lockjaw. And that was the end of the segment. Hey, Griga, thank you for the $1.99. I appreciate it. Salud to Griga. And welcome to everybody, by the way, joining here on a Wednesday night in December. We got a healthy crowd here. Again, I'm going to read your super chats here and hang out with you guys in a little bit. And run down the card for Friday and for next Wednesday, because next Wednesday is a big episode of Dynamite. Last year, we had a world title change on that show. Might we have another this year? Varsity Blondes and Julia Hart were interviewed. This was the random segment of the night. They were interviewed on stage by Tony Schiavone. And before they could really say anything, what happened? What do you think? What do you think happened? They were interrupted. They were interrupted because the lights went out. And when the lights came back on, there was a man standing there with giant horns on his head. No, not Mantar. It was Malachi Black. Malachi Black sprayed black mist in Julia Hart's eyes. And she screamed and she writhed in pain. I like how Malachi just randomly pops up to spit in people's faces. That's his gimmick now. He can just show up and spit in your face and then leave. And that's it. He's done for the night. That's all he did here on this show. Otherwise, this was a pointless segment. Unless, and we've talked about the storyline possibilities here. I did last week, if you remember on the stream. This was a pointless segment unless Julia Hart eventually joins the House of Black. I don't think that's happening. And that would be a complete gimmick makeover for her. But the idea could be that, you know, some of the recent people who have been misted in the face, Pac being another one, eventually join with Malachi Black. Because he's teased this whole idea of there being a House of Black and possibly putting a group together. I said Bryan Danielson wants to put one together. Everybody wants a group. I want a group. How many of you would be part of my group? You want to join me? Let's form a group. I want somebody to come up with a name in the chat for our group. What are we going to call ourselves? I feel like we're at a disadvantage here if we don't link up together and form our own posse, because everybody else is doing it. I don't think Julia Hart is joining the House of Black, but the only thing I could think is we're going to end up getting Malachi and Brian Pillman Jr. on an upcoming TV show. And it's setting up some kind of a match. Otherwise, this felt like a pointless filler to me. There really was no need. If that was the best they had for Malachi, you're better off leaving him off the show. But I am looking forward to calling Malachi's match. Malachi Black is wrestling The Amazing Red this Saturday night. House of Glory in Queens on Fight TV. Looking forward to calling his match. The main event of this show, Bryan Danielson, one-on-one against Long Island's own Long John Silver of the Dark Order. Silver was showing off some of his power. Danielson regained control, hit a diving knee drop to the back of his head while he was draped over the apron. So they go to a commercial break, and Danielson is just dominating through the commercial break. Shout out to Rizzo, channel member. Look at that, Sound Off legend, channel member for 9 months. 9 months. You could have popped out a little Rizzo in 9 months. He's been a channel member here on YouTube. Thank you, sir. During the break, Danielson hit a front face drop kick off the top rope to Silver. Pretty much held the advantage until they finally came back. Silver throws the flurry of kicks. It's always fun to watch a John Silver comeback. Flurry of kicks, tried for a heel hook. Danielson got to the ropes for the rope break. Silver hit a cannonball senton from the apron onto Danielson on the floor. Back inside, Silver lit him up. Kicks. Kick after kick after kick. Went for a released German. Danielson, though, landed on his feet, came back with a kick to the head. Bryan went for the running knee. Silver avoided it. He got Danielson across the middle rope, came off the ropes with a kick to the back of the head. And then he took him over for a German suplex into a bridge, a pinning bridge for a near fall. Silver went for the spin doctor, but Danielson gouged the eyes, and he started raining elbows down upon him until John Silver just crumpled in a heap in the middle of the ring. And Danielson hit a Gotch-style pile driver that would make Minoru Suzuki proud. And then he applied some kind of a submission. I couldn't get a good shot of what it was. The camera angle wasn't great. But he locked on some kind of a submission for the win, or the ref stoppage, I think is what it was. So then Danielson gets on the mic, and he says, Evil Uno. Head kicked in. Colt Cabana. Head kicked in. Allen Angels. Head kicked in. Johnny Hungy. He said, oh, wait. I'm nothing if not a man of my word. I promise to kick his head in, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. And he goes over to John Silver, and he grabs the arms, and he starts stomping on him. And as he starts stomping on him, here comes Hangman Adam Page, the AEW World Champion, who charges down to the ring, and he tackles Danielson down to the mat. Didn't really do a lot of damage before Danielson managed to break free, and he got away. Hangman takes the mic and says next week he's going to stomp the cowboy shit out of Bryan Danielson. That is how they went off the air. I wouldn't have even had them touch at all, but at least it was brief, and I'm looking forward to the match next week. They could always do a short title change. I think that would be dumb. I see no reason to do that. Not that we won't get some kind of screwy finish, because you do have that first Dynamite coming up on January 5th on TBS. You do have Battle of the Belts. We know the title is going to be on the line on January 8th. And I don't think there's enough time for them to build up a new challenger for Hangman in 2 weeks. So a rematch with Danielson. I mean, even if he beats Danielson in a competitive match, and maybe he beats him on a roll-up, or some kind of counter out of a counter. It's not a decisive win, but it's a win. And then they have one more match with Hangman decisively winning, and Danielson putting him over, and kind of putting his stamp of approval on Hangman Page. Seems pretty obvious to me we're going to get a rematch, but I don't see Danielson winning the championship next week. I think that would be a mistake. You know, it's Hangman's first title defense since winning the belt, and I think to lose it sends the wrong message. Although I am loving Danielson as a heel, and I hope he stays this way for a while, I don't see a title change next week. But I think they'll have a good match. Now, this Friday on Rampage, we have Lucha Bros defending the AEW Tag Team titles against FTR. And I already mentioned it was supposed to be 2 out of 3 falls last week. It will not be this time. Ruby Soho, Anna Jay, and Ty Conti against Nyla Rose, The Bunny, and Penelope Ford. Adam Cole against Wheeler Yuta. And the big announcement. Hook is going to make his in-ring debut against Fuego del Sol. Rest in peace, Fuego del Sol. You know, Rampage is only an hour. Well, 48 minutes, I guess. You take commercials out of it. I suspect that the Hook match will not last very long. We probably will get all of 30 seconds of Hook in this match, but we will get Hook's debut. If Rampage doesn't do 1 million viewers on Friday, then I don't know what we're doing here. Then it's Winter is Coming, Dynamite next Wednesday, MJF against Dante Martin for the Dynamite Diamond Ring. Serena Deeb is back, one-on-one against Hikaru Shida. They took a break for a few weeks. We haven't heard or seen from either of these women, but obviously, they have their issues, and they're going to settle them at Winter is Coming. You know, even though they're going into it a little bit cold because they have not been featured in recent weeks, Serena Deeb and Hikaru Shida are, I mean, look, it's on the same show as Hangman and Danielson. So I don't want to say that Serena and Shida will have the match of the night, but they're going to have, I think, a very good match next week. So although we don't have a lot of matches listed yet for Winter is Coming, we have that one. I think MJF and Dante Martin could be a lot of fun. And then the main event for the World Championship. The other announcement they made tonight, and I'm not sure if this date was confirmed or not, but it is now, AEW Revolution. Their next pay-per-view is not until Sunday, March 6th. So it's a Sunday pay-per-view, and it will be in Orlando. So they're going to be in Florida for Revolution on March 6th. So let us take a look here at the current Twitter poll results. About 85% thumbs up and 15% thumbs down. You can vote at Solomonster on Twitter is the place to go. Let me know what you thought of tonight's show. I am curious to get your feedback, as I am here, which is why I want to bring up your Super Chats. So let us get into your questions, your comments. If you have questions, comments about anything, whether it's related to Dynamite, if it's a WWE thing or something, we'll talk wrestling here for a little while. I want to hear from you guys. Of course, your support is always appreciated. You guys know that, whether it's a super chat, whether it's a like or a sub or a new channel membership, whatever it might be. Ryan Spies dropped $20 earlier and says, have you seen Jack Evans' tweets in the last day or so with him saying that he is being extorted by Mexican police, as well as him being potentially imprisoned on false drug charges if he does not continue to pay them? I did see those tweets. Basically what happened is, just as Ryan said, he put a tweet out saying that he was being extorted by the Mexican police. He had already paid, I think it was the equivalent of $350 American currency. And he just wanted to put it out there that he's not paying anymore. He's already paid that much. He's not giving them any more money. And so if anything happens to him, or if he's suddenly jailed on drug charges, which is something you don't want, you don't want to be put in a Mexican jail. He wanted to put these tweets out to the world so they would be aware of what's going on and they would know where he is. I mean, look, I don't know what is going on there. I don't know if he's telling the truth or not. I will tell you, and I've been to Mexico before, and we heard the stories before we went and everything. There is a ton of corruption when it comes to the police down in, I mean, there's a ton of corruption here too, but in Mexico, it's, you know, from what I understand, it's a pretty known problem that there is a lot of corruption with the Mexican police. And it was definitely talked about. You know, I've been to Mexico before, and you know, we kind of broke away from our other friends in our group to go around on our own. And you know, you got to just be careful. I think in some cases they prey on tourists, and they know they can get the money out of you because you're probably scared shitless, right? So you're pretty much willing to do whatever they ask you to do. It's a real problem. So it could very well be a situation where he's, you know, being screwed over, but I don't know what Jack Evans is into. What is Jack Evans doing down there any given day? Who knows? I don't know. But I don't imagine that anybody would want to wind up in a Mexican prison. Witterbird, 675 Super Chat. I was nothing worse than dried chicken. Love you and the Super Chat questions. Oh, Witterbird, thank you. I appreciate that. That's very nice of you. Tuxedo T Servo with the $5 Super Chat. If this was WWE, MJF would have been first out of the Battle Royal and gotten a beatdown outside the ring afterwards. Subvert those expectations. Oh, please, all the Long Island people on the show tonight. I mean, you know, John Silver lost in the main event, but we knew that. But yeah, things would not have ended well. You're probably better off not telling WWE where you're from. Whatever city WWE or state WWE does not really visit very often. Like, when was the last WWE show in Alaska? When was the last WWE show in Vermont? I would tell them I'm from there. I don't want them knowing where I'm from. Think I could pass for someone who lives in Alaska or maybe Hawaii? Nayef Alsafar, thank you for the $9.99. Fried chicken without flavor. After AEW Winter is coming, I have decided I will be taking a temporary break from watching Dynamite Live and Rampage. Fatigue is setting in. So fatigue setting in for dry chicken. Well, I hope you'll still join us here on the streams. That way I can keep you posted on what's going on and you can still interact with everybody. Don't leave me now. He says, I know fatigue is setting in and cannot please everyone. I do miss watching guys like Moxley, Archer, Brian Cage, Private Party, Miro, and Omega. Well, Moxley, we know why Moxley is out. Omega is hurt. Archer got hurt. I don't know what his status is right now. But yeah, Miro, Cage, and Private Party, we got to get those guys back on TV. Miro, at least, we're getting vignettes. We got one with him last week, right? So he's planning something. They have some kind of plan for Miro. The other ones, though, I'm not really sure what the hell's going on. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury with the $5 super chat. I don't think Rosa is winning the TBS title. Last time they had something involving wrestling called Thunder on TBS, it did not work out too well. Badum-tis. Well said. Lakers Pats won. Drunk Shane McMahon voice. Yeah, boy. You got it wrong. It's booyah. See, you forget when Shane first showed up on TV, he was doing commentary on Sunday Night Heat back in 98. And every 5 seconds, it was booyah. It was booyah this, booyah that. Now with Rey Mysterio, it's booyaka. But back then, it was booyah. Now it's Vic Joseph. It's ooh! Oh! See, it's the evolution or the de-evolution of things. What do you think is worse? Shane McMahon's booyah on commentary every 5 minutes or Vic Joseph's, oh! Food Hive says send Hook. Well, they will send Hook on Friday night. EJ Slamp, the reason why I turned on Cody is I think he's gotten stale and I did not like how he just left the Elite without a story on TV. I don't know why others have. I think everybody has their own reasons why. But again, I think some people look at him and think, you know, at least his character anyway, is he comes across as very pretentious and thinking more of himself than maybe he should. And they resent him for it. And, you know, sometimes some humility goes a long way. And so I think that's part of the reason why some fans have turned on him. Rodimus Prime, again, with that $40 drop earlier in the stream, he says, at this point, Cody's new nickname should be highly unnecessary because everything about him and everything he does is highly unnecessary. Hey, that could be the name of our faction. That could be the name of our group. We can call it Highly Unnecessary. Marcus the Entertainer with the $2. Jamie Hayter versus Riho was badass. The Mount Vernon Kid, the Alpha with the $5 super chat. Solemn Monster, hope you're well. Do you think Dante Martin and Leo Rush swerve over Team Taz tonight was too soon? You know, it did feel a little too soon. It felt like it came out of nowhere. I would not have done it in the Battle Royal. I'm with you. I would have held out a little bit if the idea was to do a big swerve. I would have held out until they had a match. Even if in the end it comes out they were together. By the way, we don't know if Dante and Leo Rush are still going to be together. You know, maybe we find out that he swerved Team Taz without Leo's knowledge. We don't know. I was kind of hoping we would at least get a match between Leo Rush and Dante Martin at Winter is Coming first before they did the big reveal. EJ Slamp. Fun fact you might not know, MJF is not the only wrestler who appeared on TV as a kid. Punk was on Bozo's Circus when he was 7. Yes, I am aware. I saw that video a few years ago. It's been floating around for a while. Hulkling 93, I like OC, but 2 weeks in a row with him getting kicked for the weak style kicks shtick makes him look like a big geek. Yeah, I would say the Orange Cassidy shtick does make him look like a bit of a geek. Marcus Robinson Johnson, with MJF challenging, or rather eliminating, Wardlow from the match tonight. Do you see Wardlow costing MJF his eventual match against Punk? I think, if he costs him the match, if Punk were to win, it would be an accidental thing with Wardlow. And at that point, I mean, if he costs MJF to win against Punk, then the split has to happen. You know, by the following week, if they're still not splitting up Punk or MJF and Wardlow, then that's just waiting too long. Like, that would be kind of the catalyst, finally, I think, for a split. But, you know, I've said before, I said I don't think that MJF should lose to CM Punk. I think when they have their match, MJF should get the win. Now, if the idea is for them to have more than one match, you could have Punk win one, MJF can win the second one, because MJF is the one. Now that Punk has said that he wants to challenge for the championship, right? That puts him in the conversation as far as the world title is concerned. I see MJF getting there before Punk does. I see MJF potentially being the one to take the title from Hangman Page next year. He shouldn't be losing to CM Punk. I think when they meet, it should be MJF going home. But yes, if MJF were to lose, I would utilize a miscommunication by Wardlow and use that as the catalyst to finally split him away from MJF. EJ Slemp. $4.99 Super Chat. This might be unpopular, but I feel like Jurassic Express should break up soon. If they aren't going to win tag titles, why keep them together? Because they're a popular act. I mean, there are reasons to keep some of these acts together. Look, even Orange Cassidy, for the people who rag on Orange Cassidy, the fact is, when he goes out there, he gets a big reaction. There are television segments of his that actually do well, or at least they did it. As of a few months ago, they were still doing well in the quarter hour numbers. They look at that stuff. They know what's performing. They know what's not. Jurassic Express is still very much over. They're still very popular with the crowd. I don't see a need to split them up just yet. I think that would be a bit of an overreaction. There will be a time and a place for that. I don't think we're there yet. I don't believe. Dry chicken without flavor. Dropping the $5 super chat. I accept the fact that AEW has dropped the ball on Private Party. They would have attracted casual fans and college students to watch AEW. From shots to damn. Yeah, the alliance with Matt Hardy has not done them any favors. It's actually gotten them less over. Jamin John, is China put her down on her knees where she belongs segment with The Nation a very uncomfortable rewatch? Yeah, it was the Attitude Era. It was the babyface in peril. I think that was the segment where Shawn Michaels came out and made the save. I don't have any issue with it. That's how it was back then. You know? For some people, it is going to be uncomfortable. That segment, I don't remember. The thing I remember the most is Shawn Michaels coming out and whacking Mark Henry just dead in the head with a steel chair. That was, I believe, right before SummerSlam. Might have actually been the go-home show, maybe, to SummerSlam in 98. It's not uncomfortable for me. For some people, maybe. Jamin says, are you looking forward to Spider-Man No Way Home? I keep hearing about Spider-Man. I have not watched a Spider-Man movie since Spider-Man 3, which was a bloated mess. That was with Venom the first time. Was it Venom? There were two villains in that movie. It was Venom, and I forgot the other one. I have not seen a Spider-Man movie since. I have not seen anyone other than Tobey Maguire play Spider-Man. It's just, I got overwhelmed. There were so many Marvel movies and DC comic book movies that came out all at once. And I just sort of gave up on it. I saw the first Avengers movie. I didn't see any of the other ones. You know, no. I am not going to be seeing Spider-Man No Way Home. Sandman, thank you. Yes, it was Sandman. It was Sandman. They tried to do too much. I remember watching the third Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire. I was really looking forward to seeing Venom. And then he was like, I felt like he was barely in the movie. It's like, what the hell was this? But if any of the recent Venom movies with, what's his name? Tom, with Tom, forgot his last name, are worth watching, let me know. I know there's a new one out. Hulkling 93, it also does not help that nothing was stopping Conti and Jay from hitting the heel trio with the chairs. Yeah, everything about that segment was just so forced and so phony, and it didn't work. It just didn't work. Tom Hardy, yes, thank you. The lost Hardy boy, Tom Hardy. Kevin Velasquez, $4 super chat. A monster. Do you think Jamie Hayter will ever be AEW Women's Champion? I just can't seem to have enough of her on my TV screen. I think Jamie Hayter will be the TBS champion. I don't know about the World Women's title, but I think the TBS title, yeah, I think she will. We got JN Sermons dropping $1.99. Hook is as good as I thought he would be. Have you watched his sparring sessions? How do you know this? Griga, again, from earlier, thank you for the $1.99. I appreciate it. Dry Chicken Without Flavor, $5 super chat. We need to see Cody Rhodes against Nick Gage in a death match. The best solution to Cody to get over. It ain't gonna work. You can put him in there with almost anybody. It ain't gonna work. Groovy Goose. How long till Punk calls MJF the New York Yankees? Oh, I'd say about a week. King of Doug Style, $5 super chat. Happy holidays to you, Solid Monster, in the chat. I don't always participate in the chat, but I am here every week for the review. And hit that like button. Thank you, King of Doug Style. Happy holidays to you as well. Oh, it is Ray Wrighton. $9.99. Hey, Solo, at work, so I can't watch Dynamite, but I'm here for you. See you this Saturday at HOG. Hope all is well. Well, I will see you there. House of Glory on Saturday. It's going to be a lot of fun. Malachi Black on the card. Buddy Matthews on the card. We got the Bollywood boys coming in. And Maruthi Ram dropping a $5 super chat and dropped another one. So dropping $10 in super chat, no message, just showing some love. So thank you, sir. I do appreciate these super chats here around the holiday season. We got Christmas coming up in a few weeks. Hope everybody has Christmas plans. I don't know if I'm going to be streaming. I mean, so we got Rampage that night. I don't know if I'll be streaming. We'll see. We might have a Christmas stream this year. Now that they're going to be on Christmas Day, we might have to do a Christmas stream. Plus, Ultra Adrian, $4.99 Super Chat. Just wanted to show some support. I won't be at the Rampage stream on Friday because I have a date that night. Wish me luck. Well, how about that? Plus, Ultra Adrian is ditching me for a date. I don't know how I feel about this. I feel like I've been left at the altar. I've been stood up. Good luck on your date. Just don't bring up wrestling and I think you'll be okay. Magician Sapphire with the $10 super chat. What do you think about AEW pairing up Brian Cage and Lance Archer as a monster heel tag team? I'd be okay with that. I think that would be good for them. At least it would get them on television. Lance Archer has been, I mean, you talk about people who have had no purpose. He had a very brief, I can't even call it a run. I mean, he had the, you know, the championship that he had won on TV, which was the, I think it was the New Japan, right? New Japan US title, if I recall. I don't even think it was an AEW title. But he just always felt to me like a guy just floating around with no real purpose. Then he got hurt. obviously, he's been off TV. Excuse me, he's been off TV. So maybe putting him in a tag team with another big guy who just, they go around and smash people. Maybe that's the way to go. They already have a pretty robust tag team division. I'm all for adding more teams. In fact, we got one team that should be coming very soon. And in fact, next week, winter is coming. I think there is a very good chance that we will have a Red Dragon reunion. Winter is coming. Bundle up. So you could probably add Red Dragon to the mix very soon. So, if they have no plans for Cage and Archer, put them together. In fact, the story tells itself. You have two guys who have been, in the case of Cage, he and his wife have been vocal about the fact that they've kind of been lost in the shuffle in AEW, and so now they want to show people, hey, look, you're going to forget about us? We'll show you. They just go around killing dudes. Maruthi Ram with another $5 super chat. Can't wait for that MJF face turn. I'm sorry, I'm reading Walter's super chat. Walter, we got Volta here in the super chat. I'll get to you in a second. Maruthi wants to know, do you think Wardlow against Powerhouse Hobbs? Well, Hobbs, is that going to be a great match worth waiting for? Wardlow and Hobbs, people pop for it. They had a little showdown in the Battle Royal tonight, and the people were into it. Yeah, I think that could be a fun match. You know, and both guys in their own singles matches have looked good. You know, they know how to work that big man style. You put them in the ring against each other, you never know what you're going to get with two big dudes going at it. I don't know that I want to see them in a 15-minute mat classic, but no, I think that could be fun. Frost says, and what if Kyle O'Reilly doesn't show up? And he'll show up the week after that or the week after that. But I think, it's pretty obvious where he is going to be headed. I don't think they would have been doing the Undisputed Era teases on TV if they didn't have a pretty good sense that he would be coming in. And just when you look at the natural order of things, if he's not staying in NXT, he has no future on Raw or SmackDown. Don't fool yourselves. Kyle O'Reilly has no future on the WWE main roster. He has no future in NXT because he doesn't fit in that new 2.0 environment that they have created. Look what they've had him doing with Von Fuckface over there. So he's done with NXT. He stands no chance on the main roster. He could always go back to Japan, I suppose, if he wanted to do, you know, New Japan or something. There's Impact, there's MLW. I mean, there's lots of different options. Or there's a tag team partner that he has who's waiting for him, who's coming out to their old theme music. Adam Cole is there. There's lots of stories that you could tell, whether it's, you know, as opposing forces, whether it's united again together against the Elite. I mean, there's so many ways you could go, or you could just keep it simple and put them back together as a team and let them tear ass through the tag team division. I know some people are disappointed. They're like, oh, Kyle, he should get a run as a singles guy. You know, maybe one day he'll have his chance. I don't see that. I think right now the best thing would be to get him back together with Bobby Fish in the AEW tag team division. That, I think, is the spot, the role for him to be in right now. Dry chicken without flavor. Red Dragon plus Undisputed Era equals AEW's Redisputed. Walter Palacios. Let me go back to Walter here before I miss the rest of his super chat. He said, number one, cannot wait for that MJF face turn. Number two, for the group name, Jason's Sala Monsters. And number three, I see you booyah and oh, and raise you, what a maneuver. You see, I was never annoyed by that. I was never annoyed by that. I have actually grown to appreciate Vince McMahon's commentary even more. There was no greater salesman on commentary for his own product back in the day than Vince McMahon. As corny as his commentary could sometimes be, and yes, he didn't know the names of all the maneuvers and stuff, that wasn't his job, that was Jim Ross's job. You know, back in the mid-90s. And back in the 80s, when he was doing commentary with Jesse Ventura, it wasn't even really about the moves. I think Vince McMahon, I think time has been kinder to him. And when I think to my favorite announced duos, my announced teams of all time, obviously I have Heenan and Monsoon in the number one spot. And I think in the number two spot, in all honesty, I have Heenan, or rather Monsoon and Ventura. I thought he and Jesse were very good together. The number three spot is Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler. And my number four is Vince McMahon and Jesse Ventura. I really can't say too many bad things about Vince on commentary. It was not perfect, but I don't know. There was a certain charm to it. And boy, he could really put those stories over because he knew them better than anybody else. He knew exactly what and who he wanted to get over. Who better than the owner of the company? Domination Warrior, what are the best hours for a wrestling show? 8 to 10 p.m. EJ Slemp, $4.99 Super Chat. Thank you, EJ. I just read Tony Khan, of all people, was the one who got Charlie Caruso her job in WWE. I know she has a great gig at ESPN, but I would like her in AEW. Well, I think she's very happy doing her thing in ESPN, so I don't think AEW needs her. And Scott Woodford with the $4.99 Super Chat. Will Hammerstone ever be in AEW? Happy Halo Infinite Day. Alex Hammerstone is very talented. Jacob Fatu, very talented. I think that they have this core nucleus in MLW right now. They're trying to build the company and, you know, make it bigger, make it a bigger deal. How old is Alex Hammerstone? I don't have his age in front of me. Do I think he'll ever be in AEW? I think there's a chance. I don't know what his goals are. I don't know what his contract status is. That is going to obviously dictate a lot. Does he aspire to be in WWE one day? And, you know, he's one of those guys who actually might have some real success because he is a bigger guy. I could see him, you know, getting a real look from WWE. If he wants to go to AEW, I think Tony Khan would be crazy not to bring him in if he becomes a free agent. Hammerstone is very good. Jacob Fatu would be an easy pickup for either company. I know they may have shied away from him because of his some of his indiscretions and things he was accused of in the past, but he's a hell of an athlete. And MLW is very lucky to have him on their roster. I think I'm all caught up on your super chats now. Let me take a look at that poll real quick again. Yeah, pretty much same numbers. 85-15. Very good total there. Again, very good show tonight. I enjoyed tonight's show. Bash says, Fatu will be in WWE. Vince loves Samoans. He does love Samoans. Samoans do get a lot of love in WWE. There's no doubt about that. We got Dry Chicken coming in hot with another super chat. Says could be fake, but what is your thoughts on the rumors of Nick Khan potentially replacing Vince McMahon? So yeah, let's address this real quick, because, you know, the way certain websites pick up on stuff like this is so comical to me. I believe this is an example of something where Meltzer on his radio show, on his podcast, made a comment about how he figures or assumes or he believes that one day Nick Khan will be the one to take over for Vince McMahon. And what ends up happening is people take these, I think, sort of, you know, he has these stream of consciousness answers that he gives where Meltzer is taking an educated guess or he's giving his opinion on something, and all of a sudden his opinion becomes news. So Nick Khan is not taking over for Vince McMahon. There is no indication of that happening anytime soon. What he was saying, I believe, is when the time comes, when and if the time comes, because some people think Vince is a fucking cyborg who will never leave and never die. but that Nick Khan is in the position that he is in, so that one day when Vince has to step down, or if he dies or something happens, it would not be Triple H, it would not be Stephanie, it would not be Shane, it would be Nick Khan, who would take over as the head, the chairman, the president, what have you, of WWE. I could see that, absolutely. Nick Khan has been very successful as a businessman. He's a very shrewd businessman. You know, he's a smart guy. You can say what you want to about, you know, I know all the cuts and everything, and, you know, all of the expenses coming off the books and stuff, and how it looks like they're preparing the company for a sale soon at some point. I mean, he wasn't saying that it's set in stone that Nick Khan is taking over for Vince McMahon. I do see some websites kind of running with that as if it's breaking news. It is not breaking news. It is what Meltzer believes could very well happen. I believe it could very well happen too, but to believe that, you would have to believe that Vince McMahon is willing to step aside anytime in the near future, and I don't see that. Now, what does that even mean? If Nick Khan takes over for Vince McMahon, think of all of the things that Vince McMahon is responsible for. Beyond just overseeing business decisions, he is the creative force. He's the creative visionary behind everything that we see on television in this company, which probably has a lot to do with why we have so much shit on television. So if Nick Khan were to take over for Vince McMahon, does that mean all of a sudden that Nick Khan is the head of creative? Does Nick Khan have any creative ideas? I mean, does he have any experience doing creative writing or coming up with creative wrestling storylines on television? Would Nick Khan still continue this system of having these giant bloated teams of writers? Would Nick Khan want to downsize that, like he's, you know, like the company's been downsizing their roster now for the entire year? We have no idea. Creatively, we have no idea what kind of creative force someone like Nick Khan would be, or would he outsource it to somebody else? Maybe Nick Khan doesn't want to have anything to do with it. You think Nick Khan wants to be sitting at the gorilla position on headset every week? You know, John Moxley said that Vince McMahon is going to die in that chair one day. Somebody is going to come back through the curtain from their match, and Vince is going to be face down on the desk. He is never going to leave that chair. What does that mean? Is Nick Khan going to be sitting in that same chair? My guess is no. He may take over as the chairman and the head of business operations, but we would probably get either one person or a group of people collectively who kind of take over the role that Vince McMahon currently has. And as bad as things are on WWE television and boring, and I mean, it's almost like the whole be careful what you wish for. Because if Vince McMahon were to ever step aside and give somebody else a chance, or Vince McMahon, you know, passed away or something happened, things could get worse. Doesn't mean they're going to improve. Things could actually get worse. We don't know what we're going to end up with. And that makes it kind of scary, because as a fan, you want, you know, television storylines and characters that are fun and that are entertaining and that are, you know, they are characters that you want to invest in. You want it to be a television show that's must-see, that you feel like, oh man, if I miss it, I miss something special. You want to go back to those days. I don't know if we're ever going to get back to those days. All we need is somebody competent who recognizes the talent that they have, work with those talents, come up with ideas, pick out the people that you want to push the most. You know, maybe loosen the handcuffs a little bit. Work together with them, have fun with it, and come up with television storylines that are compelling and that are fun to watch. Break away from the formula a little bit. They're too corporate. They're too set in their ways, and they're very formulaic, and I think that's one of the things that just makes it feel so sanitized, maybe is a good word to use. Where Nick Khan figures into that, though, and how much creative influence he would have, I have no idea. But can we please stop taking Meltzer's opinions from his radio shows that he does not intend to be breaking news and having websites run with it as headline news? Can we stop maybe doing that possibly, please? Not blaming you, by the way. It's more of a rant at all the websites that do this. Rizzo with the $5 super chat. Do you think eventually NXT goes back to the network instead of USA? This isn't exactly what USA thought they were getting when they did the deal. Does NXT go back to the network instead of USA? I don't think so. And I think, frankly, if USA didn't want it, they probably would end up finding some kind of lesser network that might take it. Because on their own network, I think it's pretty much, it's totally dead. So they would want to put it somewhere else. And I guess USA, though, I get the sense USA is probably content to just keep it. I don't know what the television show was doing previously that was in the current slot on Tuesday nights that NXT is in right now. USA Network does not have as many hit shows as they did many years ago. There was a period of time where USA had quite a few shows. I don't know what those shows are now. I mean, is Mr. Robot even on anymore? I thought that show was over. Actually, I have one USA Network show that I'm a big fan of that I am watching as we speak. I have seen the first three seasons. I'm currently watching season four, which is in progress. The Sinner. The show called The Sinner with Bill Pullman as the title character. That probably is the first USA Network drama that I have watched in many, many years. What other big shows does USA have? Chucky. I guess Chucky. Chucky's on my watch list. I haven't watched Chucky yet, so I'm not 100% sure if I'm going to stick with it. I've heard good things about Chucky, though. I definitely want to check that out. So who knows? Maybe they're about to turn things around. But, boy, you know, they used to have Psych and Monk and Suits and all these shows that I guess were doing really well. You go back even further, you had Burn Notice and La Femme Nikita. And USA isn't really what it used to be. More to life. Look at this. Montese, Antoine Moore. Hope all has been well, my brother. Thank you for the super chat. I appreciate that. Very, very talented. Mr. Montese joining us here on the live stream tonight. Colbert says the Sinner just ended. Okay. I knew they were, I didn't know if there was one or two episodes left or if it just finished recently. I'm playing catch up. I'm about halfway through the season. I'm enjoying it. I like the show. You know, he's a cop, although now he's retired, and yet he's still being pulled into all this. But it's, each season is focused on one particular kind of mysterious story, murder, a disappearance, something along those lines, and he's kind of he's in the middle of it trying to solve it. Not his best acting work. See, I don't watch The Sinner, Bill Pullman's performance on that show, thinking, man, this guy's what a great acting performance. How do I even explain this? I don't want to say that he's not great in the show. I mean, I enjoyed the show, but I don't know if it's because he's so much older now. By the way, if you don't know who Bill Pullman is, he was the president from the movie Independence Day over 25 years ago. Right? Today we declare our Independence Day when the aliens were trying to invade. He's a lot older now. He's more gruff. He's almost got like the Vince McMahon voice going. Like, I'm trying to solve this case. Bruce, leave me alone, Bruce. Try to solve this case. Yeah, probably why USA wanted hockey. That's a good point. Well, sports is big, though. I mean, sports, you get a lot of advertising money for the major sports leagues. It's all about money. It's all about money. Juice Blenda in the chat. Ready for Hog this weekend. I am ready. My body is ready. I am ready for Hog. We got a good lineup for the show this weekend. 7 Eastern, by the way. If you cannot be there live at the NYC Arena in Jamaica, Queens, you can join us live on Fight TV. The order page is up right now. You can hear our commentary. Dry chicken without flavor. Add the TV series The Boys to your playlist. I have it on my list. I have it on my watch list. You know, one of the things that I'm hoping, now that I have this new beautiful Lenovo machine this new laptop that I am still in the process of setting up and transferring everything over to it, we might be able to bring back Sound Off Gamer very soon. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, I am of the impression that AEW, their console game, is coming out next year. And I believe they said that at the same time it comes out for all the major consoles, I believe there's a PC version coming out. So if that's true, if there is a PC version of the AEW video game next year, I will be all over that. We can bring it in to the YouTube channel as a new series. Sound Off Gamer returns. So, is there a date, by the way, when that game is coming out? When is that game supposed to come out? Have they even announced the date for it yet? How many episodes of The Wire have I watched? I am 3 episodes in so far. I am 3 episodes in. No rush. Taking my time. I caught up with Curb Your Enthusiasm last night. Trying to play catch up on everything. Yeah, I mean, I was of the impression the game was coming out next year. I mean, are they developing this game for 3 years? I mean, what is it really going to take that long? I thought the game was already midway through development. Why is it going to take another year? Well, anyway, when the game does come out, if there's a PC version, I will probably play it for Sound Off Gamer. All right, you know what time it is. You know what that horn means. It is Be the Booker time. That's what that means. Where we randomly book the WrestleMania main event. Let's be the booker here and see if we do a better job than WWE and AEW does with their matches. It's very simple, very quick, very easy. And thank you to Zinfamous HD on Twitter for the awesome gif here. We've got the Bruiserweight, Pete Dunne. Former United Kingdom champion, Pete Dunne in the WrestleMania main event. I dig it. I dig it. Pete Dunne, oh boy, this is going to be interesting because Pete Dunne wrestles a very particular style of match. Who will Pete Dunne be matched up with? It will be Pete Dunne one-on-one against Matt Riddle. That was an NXT main event for you. Could that be a WrestleMania main event one day? Hey, it could be. It could be. I'll allow it. Not bad. Not bad at all. Switch over to the ladies. Say hello to AJ Lee. She's giving you the look. I mean, she's ready for Be the Booker. See who we got. On the women's side, we've got Stacy Keibler, who I landed on the other night. And I just landed on her for the second straight time. Stacy Keibler, not known for her wrestling skills, one-on-one against Jillian Hall. That don't work for me, brother. Well, you win some, you lose some. We had one good one, at least. Not a total loss, right? Not a total loss. Hey, Rizzo, thank you for the $5. Rizzo says, I'll give that sinner show a shot. Haven't really watched USA since Monk and Psych a few years ago. Yeah, give it a watch. You know, it's one of these shows, it's kind of like a mystery show. It makes you think. Yeah, you know, he's trying to figure out what happened to this person, and it's like a kind of like a quiet town that he's in. I tend to like shows like that, so if you're into that kind of thing, it's not like all action like some of these other cop shows. I enjoy it. I think you would too. I see you all agree with me. Mine is 5 stars, says Fire Panda, the women's WrestleMania main event there. Yeah, we've done better. We've done better. Hey, Tuxedo, I will see you on Friday night. Just a quick programming note for you. I will be live back here with you again on Friday night. I am thinking of probably doing a hybrid stream this week, doing a super stream. So we might be doing SmackDown. So it might be a combo of SmackDown and Rampage. Either way, I expect you back here with me. After 11 p.m. on Friday night, come on back here and we'll hang out some more. We'll talk about at least Rampage, if not SmackDown and Rampage. We'll do a little bit of both. Juan says, are you going to download Wolfenstein Enemy Territory on the new laptop? Already did. I haven't played it yet, but I've already got it downloaded. It's one of those games I just can't quit. I feel like a lot of people have that one game that's like 15, 20 years old. And even with all of the advances in gaming now and the way things they look so real and there's multiplayer and everything, there's just some games that you can't really give up on, you know? And for me, that's one of those games. I just love the idea that this was a game that was in development in 2003 and they abandoned it. I don't remember why. But they had already developed most of the game and so they just put it online for free. And I started playing it and I was completely addicted to it. But back then, I was the noob who loved to go around and kill my teammates with friendly fire. Because that made me laugh, and I was entertained, and I was amused, until I started getting kicked from all the various servers. And then I realized that if I get kicked from any more servers, I'm not going to have anybody left to play. So perhaps we should try to actually learn how to play this game instead of just amusing ourselves. And then I got kind of good at it, fell out of it, and was very surprised to find out years later that despite all the bots, because that's what happens when the game gets old, right? You can't find a server that doesn't have bots. I found servers with actual human beings that still play, and it's fun. It's fun. And if you are interested, we have a playlist here on the YouTube channel. There's a whole bunch of playlists. You should check out the playlist section, by the way, because everything is organized. All the This Week in History segments, all the RSPW rewinds. I have a Sound of Gamer playlist, and you'll find two or three Enemy Territory gameplays in. I'm not on camera for any of them, but I'm kind of narrating as I'm playing, and I don't think I'm particularly good in those videos. I'm not really particularly good in any of the Sound Off Gamer videos, which is part of the appeal of the series. So, yes, Kane, I was a troll. Trollo monster, but we're going back almost 20 years. I mean, you got to cut me some slack here. Used to play Grand Theft Auto 3. Grand Theft Auto 3, I was able to program the MP3s on my computer to play through the radio stations in the game. That was a lot of fun. I love crashing the car into other people. It's the little things that bring joy to my life, you know? A lot of good memories. So hopefully soon we'll bring back Sound Off Gamer. Nathaniel, I hear you. I hear you. Even if I bring it back for channel members only. Now that I got the new machine and everything, it's got a lot of firepower here. It's got a lot of horsepower. So I should be able to bring it back very soon. Just a matter of what to play. What do I play? What do people want to see me play? I will probably suck at it, but I am open to your ideas. I tell you what, and then we'll get out of here, but I think the one that I think got the most, I got the most feedback from, and I did a whole bunch of WWE 2K16 ones. There's a funny one actually where I was doing, it was Mr. Perfect against Samoa Joe, and the game was all glitched out, and I don't know what happened to Samoa Joe, but like he had one of these like T-1000 legs that was like melted into the mat, and I just lost my shit. But the one that I got, I think, the most feedback to, I did an Oregon Trail gamer. Oregon Trail, I used to play that when I was in school as a kid. And I did one where it was myself and it was a team and I just named them after like other podcasters. And I threw Sam Roberts in there too because I couldn't think of anybody else. And we went on the Oregon Trail. And I think one person broke his arm and one person died of dysentery or gonorrhea or something. I don't remember. And I was the last one, yeah, obviously, to live, but then I died. So, but I survived the trail longer than anybody else. But it's like such an old game, and yet it was, people thought it was the funniest one I ever did, so. We may have to hop back on the trail one of these days. You died of dysentery, yes. Oregon Trail on the floppy disks. My good old floppy disk. All right, guys, this is fun. Yes, Kane, I think you're right. Thank you again for joining me and choosing me for your Dynamite coverage tonight. I enjoyed this episode. Winter is coming is next week. I hope you will join me for that as well. We'll have a super stream coming up on Friday night. House of Glory on Saturday, for those who want to hear me on commentary. The place to do it is Fight TV. And then episode 734 of the Sala Monster Sounds Off, dropping on all the usual platforms this upcoming Sunday. So you've got a lot of content coming your way. Be well, stay safe, have yourselves a great night, and I will see you guys back here for more Sound Off on Friday night, live on YouTube. Take care, guys.
You pay your business credit card back every month. None of the clappy. Your business credit card pays you back every month. At Barclaycard Business, we do things differently. So with the Barclaycard Select Cashback Credit Card, we pay you back 1% cash back on all your eligible business spend, with no cap and no annual fee. To apply for a card for your business, search Barclaycard Business. Cashback T's and C's and exclusions apply. The approval of your application depends on your financial circumstances and borrowing history. T's and C's apply.